to being filled with the Spirit of God. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We'll read verses 18 through 21. Your kids can be dismissed, and y'all know the routine better than I do. I've been doing it this way a long time, and I still don't remember. Ephesians, I didn't know I was going to lose three quarters of who was here. Wait a minute. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're going to talk a little bit today about being filled with the Spirit and then go through a few passages of Scripture and talk about maintaining that fill, being filled, and how that it causes thankfulness. But before I get to that, there's three things in verse 19, 20, and 21 that I read that are results of being filled with the Spirit. First off, you'll begin to speak to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart when you get filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not just talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, but when you get saved, everything about your spiritual man changes, and there's a joy that comes into your spirit man, into your heart, that just causes you to change and makes you want to make melody in your heart to God because of what He's done for you. And I think that there's a lot of people that at one time they felt that joy. They felt that unction, if you would, from the Spirit to sing and make melody to God and even make up your own songs if need be and just to praise God because of what He had done. But if we're not careful, we'll get to a place that we don't maintain that joy any longer, and we become dried up wells of water. We just don't flow any longer with the Spirit of God. And so we go through life, and it becomes mundane, and it becomes difficult, and there's no joy, there's no peace, it's just a lack of everything. And yet we're going through the motions of living for God, and we say we love Jesus, and we talk about how we're glad He saved us, but there's no real joy. And the Bible says here, if we are not drunk with wine with excess, He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, you will speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, church, today. If you've lost your song, if you've lost your song, it's time to come back to the altar and come back to the well of grace. And you can lose your song. You can lose your song. And so then it goes on to say, giving thanks always. This will cause you to give thanks. We need to learn to give thanks. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. That's the word of God. We are to give thanks unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today for what He's done for me. I'm grateful not just for the things that God has seemingly have given to me and my family, but I'm more important than the things that we seem to have and the blessings that God has bestowed on us. I'm glad for the grace of God that flowed from the heart of God and the mercy He gave me when He saved me to the uttermost and drug me up out of a pit and set my feet upon a rock and hides me now in the cleft of the rock. I'm glad for a God that takes care of me because He loved me and He saved me because He loved me. Amen. When I was unlovable, still loves me. When I am unlovable, you can't sit out there all pious on me today and say, well, I'm never unlovable. Every single one of you are unlovable sometimes. You do things, you say things, you act ways, and you are embarrassed about it. You are ashamed because of it, and you know that God, that you do not deserve God's grace, but yet God gives you grace and shows mercy. Amen. I'm glad for that today. This is plumb off of what I was planning on preaching, but I'm glad for it today. Giving thanks always unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, not just in Jesus' name, but in our Lord, my Lord. He's my Lord. That's why we sing these songs. It ought to touch your heart when we sing a song. When the Spirit of the Lord's moving like it was a while ago, and it said, I bow down, you're submitting yourself to Almighty God. Thanking Him for what He's done for you. You get to that place and say, I just got to bow before Him. I just got to bow before my God. You may not have bowed your knees. I didn't bow my knees, but I'm going to tell you something, church. My heart was bowed before God. Thinking of His mercy, His grace, and all He's done for me and my family. For saving me, saving my wife. All my kids are saved today. As far as I know, all my grandchildren are saved except Grace. I'm just kidding. All my kids are saved. Grace and Emma, they're not old enough to know yet. But the rest of them are saved as far as I know. Living for God. What a blessing. Not very many preachers can say that their whole family's saved. Yet I can say that. What a blessing. Undeserved. I haven't been good enough for God to be this good to me. Have you? I haven't been that good. So I ought to thank Him. He deserves it. He deserves it. I just really would like to just set this thing down and just cry, but it embarrassed me. It embarrassed some of y'all too. Can't believe a preacher just crying like that. Well, I ain't going to do it if I can keep from it, y'all. Just break. Don't worry about it. That's kind of what I'd like to do. Just find me a corner and just bawl a while. Just bawl. Think about the Lord. What is it? When I think about the Lord, how He saved me. I don't know the rest of it, but you think about Him. But He raised me, how He picked me up, how He set my feet upon a rock. And when I think about what God has done, somebody ought to praise Him. Somebody ought to make a loud voice, with a loud voice, praise the Lord for what He's done. Praise be to God from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. We ought to praise Him, church. Praise God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Ghost, move. Over in Acts, the 8th chapter, there was a man named Simon. And he saw how that God was moving and people were receiving the Holy Ghost, and the Samaritans had received the Holy Ghost when Peter and John had preached to them. And they came down, they prayed with them, and Holy Ghost just fell on all of them. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. And the Bible said they laid hands on them. Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. This man named Simon saw it and offered them money for it. Do you realize, church, you can't buy what we've got this morning? You can't buy what God has given you. You can't buy His grace. You can't buy His favor. You can't buy His mercy. You can't buy the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that you can get from God by offering Him money. It doesn't work that way. But He said to them, He said in verse 9, give me this power so that I can lay hands on people and they'll receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter told him, your money perish with you, and because the gift of God can't be purchased with money. Church, you realize we got something today that the world needs. They can't purchase it. They could go out as early. They could have went Thursday afternoon at 6 o'clock when a lot of the stores opened, went in there and said, I'm here to purchase the gift of the Holy Ghost because I want to share it with my family and everybody I can meet. And they would not have been able to purchase it. It wouldn't have been on the shelf. There wouldn't have been a gift card they could buy. There was nothing they could get on Thursday or Black Friday or Saturday, Small Business Saturday. Or they couldn't find it anywhere, this gift of the Holy Ghost. So you can't buy it. And but church, we have this unspeakable gift, this gift of the Holy Ghost that God has bestowed upon us, and also the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues, so that we might flow with the power and the gifts of God. And yet we sit here complacent on our hands, if you would, spiritual hands, if we would, setting them as tight against our backside as we can to keep from receiving what God has for us, when He is here today to give you whatever it is you need to build you up spiritually, to help you become that man or woman of God that He can use for His glory. Amen. Here's a man wanted to buy it. I want this gift. I want this power. He said, you can't get it. Why couldn't he have it? Because the next verse says you can't have it because your heart is not right with God. You can't have it because you're not right in the sight of God, it said. You got to get right with God. And they said, repent of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven, because he said, you're in a gall of bitterness. No wonder we don't get what we want. We don't get what we want, so we become bitter, unhappy Christians, wondering why God does this for this family but doesn't do nothing for our family. Why God heals this one over here but he won't heal me. And we become bitter. God can't do anything with that. Not a blessed thing. You can't buy what we got this morning. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm so glad for that today. Let me go back to my text in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And it says, being filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18 talks about that. Being filled with the Spirit, not with wine, where it isn't in its excess. I want to go on record again. I haven't done it in quite some time. I'm against any drinking whatsoever of any strong drink, whether it's 3-point beer, 2 beer, or anything. If it's been fermented and is considered an alcoholic beverage, I go on record to be against that. Some preachers are not. They think you can drink in moderation. I don't believe that I can. And I know that just a couple of cans of 3.2 beer at this, maybe as large as I am now, it might take more than two, but at one time I could get staggering drunk on about a 6-pack. Because I didn't drink. So if I go out and drink a 6-pack, I could get drunk on 3.2 beer. Some people drink it like water. I can't do it. I'm against that. Totally against that. I don't care whether you agree with me on it or not. It makes me no difference. I have my standard. I have my moral. And I have my value. And that's it. I'm against it. Okay? But I'm not against being drunk with the Spirit of Almighty God. And if you want to get drunk in the Spirit, go ahead and get after it. Stagger all over this church. Stumble across the pews. Dance and shout in the name of the Lord. And it's okay. Just do it. Okay? Just do it. Being led of the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit of God. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let His church be the church. And let the gifts of the God and the power of God flow in our lives. That's what we need today, being filled with the Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, If you're going to get full of the Spirit today, Lo, whether it's being filled with the Spirit of evidence and tongue or just getting saved where you have the Spirit of God flowing in your life and the gifts of the Spirit evident in your lives, it's a contingent upon your response to the grace given to you to attain and maintain sanctification. Sanctification is a very simple word. It just simply means being set apart. But really what it means more than that, to make holy. When God saved you through Jesus Christ and His blood's atonement, He made you holy. He consecrated you. He separated you from the world. He set you apart from sin so that you might have close fellowship with Him. That's what it's all about. You cannot have close fellowship with God if you are still a part of the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Be ye holy as I am holy. He says all manner of things like that in the Word of God. We are to be holy. We are to separate ourselves. And you can't be holy in and of yourself. I understand that. It's nothing. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can cleanse me? It's the blood of Jesus. What sets me apart? It's the blood of Jesus. It's the cleansing blood of Jesus. Jesus became my sin sacrifice and satisfied God. So He sets us apart and helps us to have close fellowship with Him so we can serve Him. Church, we need to know that. It doesn't mean absolute perfection. How many here is absolute perfect? Never thought an evil thought since you got saved. Never said a bad word. Never done nothing bad since you got saved. There's nobody here, I don't believe, has can say that unequivocally without any doubt in your mind at all. You're doing your best to live for God. I understand that. You're trying to live for God. But in and of yourself, your flesh, the Bible says the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak indeed. So we understand, and that doesn't give you a license to sin, doesn't give you a license to do whatever you want to do, and to say, well, I couldn't help myself. But it does mean this. You are weak. Without God, you're not weak. But with God, you're strong. And with the Lord, you can do all things because He strengthens you. You're not absolute perfect, but by the grace of God, Jesus, you have died with Christ and you've been set free from the power and the dominion of sin. Sin no longer has any dominion over you. Aren't you glad? You can, you know, Bible says, therefore submit yourself, therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We like to quote the latter part of that, well, I just resist the devil and he flees. It doesn't work that way. You can't do it in and of yourself. It says, submit yourself, therefore unto God. So there's a submission that comes along and goes along with this devil chasing idea that we have. It's that we submit to God, then we resist the devil, and then the devil flees from us. You ever had a bully that you'd finally stand up to when you was a kid or maybe even as an adult? They just pick on you, harass you, do all kinds of things to you, and finally you get enough of that and you stand up to them and you tell them enough's enough and I'm not going to take it no more. And what usually happens when they're a true bully and you stand up to them, what do they do when you kick them in the shins for a change, or you slap them upside the head, or you just get up face to face, nose to nose, you say, I ain't taking this no more. What happens? They usually back down. And if you go ahead and take a swing at them, they'll usually run. It might be after a fight, but you usually, I've had that when I was in high school and junior high. I just finally get fed up and go, so I went to one guy, he was a bully, he's ninth grade and I seventh grader. He was picking on everybody. I just went up to him one day. I said, hey man, I ain't scared of you. What? I said, I'm not afraid of you. Why not? I said, because I'm not. I was, but I didn't want him to know it. I figured that guy's going to hurt me real bad right here. He's a big guy. He's bullying everybody. I said, I'm not afraid of you. You know what? That guy never one time, all through my junior high and high school years, not one time did he try to fight me. So I let him know up front, I'm not afraid of you. So church, what I'm trying to tell you is this, submit yourself therefore unto God, the power that's within you, then you can resist the devil. And what happens? You can chase the devil. You don't have to be afraid of him. I'm not afraid of his wiles, his wily ways. I might get twisted up in them sometime if I'm not careful, when I don't submit to God, when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I can get myself in trouble. I can do things I shouldn't do. But when I'm submitting to God and I'm full of the Spirit of God, I am not going to disappoint God, and I am going to be more than a conqueror through him that loves me. I'm telling you, church, I am an overcomer today, and so are you. So, this being filled, it says being filled is verse 18. Being filled carries the meaning of being repeatedly filled with the Spirit of God. You know, it's not just a one-time deal. What happens if you don't drink water every day? You get dehydrated. What happens if you don't eat every day? You get hungry, and if you're not careful, if you don't eat for weeks on end, you'll starve to death. Well, we need to be repeatedly filled with the Spirit of God so that we stay in that spiritual place that we need to be, so we're spiritually well. Come on now. I don't want to starve to death. I don't want to dehydrate. I don't want to be a weak Christian. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that comes from being repeatedly filled with the Spirit of God. And I cannot get where I need to be in God, nor can I do what I need to do for God, if I am an anemic Christian who refuses to feast upon the Word of God, pray to God, seek the face of God, and be led of the Spirit of God. I will never ever do what God needs me to do. I will become weak and beggarly and unable to accomplish great and mighty things in the name of the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and the latter part of that verse, it said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our minds every day, and we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, repeatedly for worship, for service, and to witness. Why do we fail to witness sometimes? Because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We don't stay filled up. We don't stay power. We don't keep plugged into the source, and we get around. It's funny how we can talk about football. We can exchange recipes. We can talk about cars. We can, talk about our jobs and our, and it, all these different things, all these different subjects. But when it comes to the Lord, all of a sudden, we don't have anything to say. When it's somebody that doesn't know Christ. Now, if it's like we get around our group, our people, we say, oh man, ain't God good? Yes, He is. And we tell all of our good stories, and then we maybe have a bad story, so we build each other up and pat each other on the back, and oh, it's going to be all right. And but yet a sinner gets in our midst, and we clam up. We don't seem to have a word to say. Don't know how to approach them. Oh, but if we're repeatedly filled, we'll be able to talk to them. We'll be able to tell them the reason for the hope that's within us. The Bible teaches us to have a testimony and give people the reason for the hope that's within us. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And it's hard sometimes, but we've got to maintain a living faith in Jesus Christ. Being filled with God's Word every day. Now, I'm preaching to everybody here. When I say everybody, so I'm going to point one there and three back at me. I need all this the same as you do. I don't preach to anybody that I don't step on my own toes sometimes. You don't hear me going outs, but spiritually I'm going, oh, why'd you say that? And my spirit man said, well, leave me alone. Preach to them. He's up here talking in my ear. He's like the little devil sitting on one of my shoulders. He says, why don't you leave yourself alone? Get after them folk out there. Tell them how the cow ate the cabbage, not yourself. You know how the cow ate the cabbage, don't you? One bite at a time. Another way to stay filled with the Spirit is by praying, giving thanks, and singing to the Lord, by serving others, by doing what the Holy Spirit leads you to do, or what He desires for you to do. And being filled with the Spirit will cause thankfulness. Amen. It'll cause you to be thankful. Church, it will. Every song we sing, all spiritual songs we sing, should first and foremost be sung and directed to God in prayer and praise and petition. whether corporate or private. I heard a guy preaching on this, and it's like, wow, I preach that myself. And I say that. I told church, you guys, this recently. I'll tell you again. You can make up songs. Sing a song. Make melody in your heart to God. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone but you and God. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to be on key. It can be off key. Just sing. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Make a song up. And then we sing so many songs, and you hear so many songs, and you listen to the radio, and you plug in your CDs or whatever, or MP3s or whatever it is you guys do anymore. And I'm still doing 8-tracks. I ain't seen an 8-track in years. But anyway, whatever it is, we hear music all the time. Good spiritual songs and worship songs. Memorize some of them and begin to sing them and make melody in your heart. I mean, it's very easy to do that. You can do that. And it builds you up spiritually. It drives the devil away from you. He don't want to be around somebody thankful. He don't want to be around somebody praising God. He don't want to be around somebody that's going to invoke the word of God against him. Come on, use the word, pray the word, sing the word. Let the devil know you're a defeated enemy, sir. Well, that's too nice a way to say it. You're a defeated enemy, dummy. Sir denotes some type of respect. I have no respect for the devil. I realize he's got some power, but it's limited. And he has none over me as a Christian, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I have overcome the world and the devil by the word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so we can do that. So we need to maintain a relationship that causes thankfulness. And he puts a song in our hearts. Psalms 40 verse 3 says, he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Can you believe that? That's what the Bible says. You must believe it. Don't you believe it? What the word says. Might as well believe what the word says. So when you begin to do this, it edifies you, it builds you up, and it causes you more thanks, and it causes you to want to pray more, and causes you to want to get closer to God. I'm going to tell you something. This praise and worship this morning caused me to want to get closer to God. Actually, it brought me nearer to God this morning and brought me to a place I wanted to be. My heart was longing to be, and I hadn't been this week, and I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I was glad that the Lord said, I'm going to countryside today, and I'm going to visit them with my spirit. Aren't you glad that he can be everywhere to bless you, to build you up, to meet you right at your point of need? That's our God. That's God. Colossians 3:16. I'll hurry. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All through the Bible it tells you to sing. Make melody. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, good grief. All through the Word. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, and you can do that with song. Music. Music. They say, and it's probably true, and I haven't studied it out for myself, that Satan originally was the choir director. That's what some have said. You know, he was, well, that angel that was very big on music, and so he's tried to usurp and take away the music from us, and man, we got all kinds of music genres out there now. I mean, I don't know if that's the right word for that, but all kinds of different types of music now. And you got country and rap and, oh my, help us, rap, and you got soul and you got jazz and you got this and you got that, and you got rock and roll and you got punk rock and you got all these different types of music, and most all of them don't bring any glory to God, and a lot of them are vulgar. And a lot of your country stuff is talking about cheating and drinking. a lot of it does. It really does. I hardly ever listen to it anymore, but the ones I, you know, used to listen to years ago, I mean, that's a lot, you know, of course, I always liked Merle Haggard or something like that. He's a rebel. But I liked his song, Okie from Muskogee, because I was from Oklahoma. We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. Well, that was a lie. One of the biggest drug in Oklahoma. But still, you know, it resonated with me. I wasn't from Muskogee, so I didn't know. I was from Shawnee. I mean, we didn't, you know, I didn't smoke dope, so I didn't know. But you know what I'm saying? The devil tries to rob what God has intended for good. And nothing wrong with some good music. I wouldn't tell you not to ever listen to any kind of music other than gospel. But I'm going to tell you this. Gospel will always do something spiritually for you where the other will not. Come on now. Why do you think I know? You hit a chord on most Beatles songs, and I can tell you what the first lyric's going to be. Because I went to bed listening to that junk with my little transistor radio right there by my ear. Mom didn't know that, but I lay right there and listened to it all night long. What'd that do? It permeated my spirit. It got in here. What if we'd have done that with the Word? I probably could have memorized the whole Bible. But my flesh man didn't want that. My flesh man wanted the Beatles and the Turtles and the Kinks and the Troggs and the, you know, the Dave Clark Five. You guys don't know none of them old good songs, man. The Box Tops and all them. Surely you've heard of Buffalo Springfield and Three Dog Night and the girls over here. But I'm going to tell you what happened about 1973. Now, I was already introduced to church and church music, but 1973, I was introduced to the Henson family. Now, I didn't meet them personally, but I was introduced to their music. And everything changed. I didn't care too much for country anymore. Didn't like the rock and roll any longer like I used to. All of a sudden, there was a music that resonated with my spirit man and began to build me up. My kids got sick of, I was always singing Henson songs. Go down the road and they'd be in the back seat. Dad, would you shut up? You don't remember that, Missy? Well, I sure do. I was trying to sing a Henson song. I said, Dad, would you quit? Well, I couldn't sing. That's the problem. I still can't. Music makes a difference. And we're to sing and make melody in our heart and give praise to God. It's what it says. Read and meditate on the Word. And our Christian singing is an expression of our joy. Joy comes in the morning when the dark gives way to the light. Haven't you heard? All God's children walk by faith, not by sight. I can't remember the rest of it. We're walking by faith today, church. And joy does come in the morning. I'm glad for the lighthouse. And that old song says it still stands on the hill. It does. Golgotha's hill. Jesus died there for us. And I'm glad for that. I'm grateful for my salvation today. How about you? Would you stand?